And action. Good day, teacups. We're doing another guest episode because we felt like it. It's Sally, and I'm here with my friend Clyde.
What's going on?
And Clyde and I decided that we wanted to do an episode together because our friendship was founded on the love, the deep love of one particular album, and we wanted to nerd out about it publicly so that everybody else can hear how serious we are about it. And Clyde, do you want to tell our listeners what that album is?
Yeah, so we are doing John Frusciante's Neandre Lattice and Usually Just a T-Shirt. I think it actually kind of describes our friendship too, in a way, because it's very like, it's so almost like specific. And
what do you mean?
Like, I feel like just like our dynamic is unique. Like, we're also just like really into niche art anyway. Mm-hmm. And then it like reflects off of our personalities. So it's like, what other album would like we bond over that well?
Totally.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, so I posted about it. This was like probably a year and a half ago, if not longer ago. I posted about it and you like got in the comments and you were like another Black person that loves this John Frusciante album. And I was like, this is literally the reason why I'm here, is to find you.
Yeah.
So it's funny because I was actually thinking about this morning, that like when I very, very first got on TikTok, the first account that I followed was this account that was like, it was this like young Black woman, probably like in her 20s or late teens or something, who was just posting like edits of like grunge dudes. And her, God, what is it? Her handle was Skin Blues. And I was like, dude,
I think I followed them. But have they made stuff recently? Because I feel like I used to see the name pop up a lot.
Yeah, yeah. She hasn't posted anything in a really long time. But that was the first account that I followed, because I was just like, holy shit. Like, there are so many other Black people on this app that are like into weird like grunge music and like all of this like the weird like John Frusciante shit. Like, I had no idea. Yes.
Skin Blues, if you're watching this, follow me.
Yeah, follow me back too.
Get on that.
I know, get on that. Get back on the app. Start making Chris Cornell edits again. Yeah, we miss you.
If you don't, I'm going to make an anti-Black call-out post about you. So, get on that shit.
Get on that. Yeah, she was the first person that I followed. And then, like, you know, I was just, like, on this crusade to find more people. And then you were, like, one of the people that was like, holy fuck. And I was like, holy fuck, right back. This is incredible. But so the thing that I have started to realize is that, like, this album is really, it's really special to a lot of people, right? But, like, if Neandre Lattice is your favorite album and you meet another person who it's also their favorite album, you know exactly what their fucking vibe is.
Yes.
Like, you know exactly like their mental state.
Right.
you know what their like damage is in their brain, and it's the same as yours.
I would even say like it's not even where their mental state is. I feel like at some point in my like analyzing the other person, it's more of like, it's either you're currently like that or you have seen some shit, and there's no way you haven't seen some shit. Like,
totally. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I was not in a state of like deep depression or anything like that when I discovered that record. Mm. I was more in a pursuit of like music that I found interesting when it came into my life. And it was actually such a joy to find, and it improved my quality of life, even though it was like a very, you know, you could say that it's like a very bleak sounding record, which, I mean, we can get into that in a second, because like I have my theories and I know you have your theories. But what I can say is that it also was the record that I listened to the most when I was becoming the biggest stoner of my life.
Yes. Perfect place to be too.
Perfect place to be. Yeah. So I think that is one common thread, is that like a lot of stoners, like psychedelic stoner people, have had very long, like lost weekends with this record.
Yeah.
Just getting super fucking ripped and being like, what?
I mean, I don't think it was because of the mental state I was in, like more so like depression. I think it was Earlier on, when I was just listening to a lot of almost like 90s rock anyway, yeah. I was in like a Chili Peppers phase at the time. But mm-hmm. I think I was reaching the end of it where I was just like, I kind of hate Anthony Kiedis so much. And but I was just like, the guitars are great. Like, just keep
that. Yeah, the guitars are great.
So mm-hmm. I think I was like looking at his solo stuff. And then at the same time, I was on a music forum that I will not name because I hate the audience so much.
I want to know off the record.
It's gonna yeah off the record, I got you. But I found that someone posted it there, and the album cover was just so weird. And I was just like, wait, but it's supposed to be the guitarist, but also mm-hmm. like the album looks super old, like why does it look like that? And then also, like, who's this woman? Like, is her name I was like,
yeah, that, to is Clara. It, you're like, who's Clara?
Yeah, I'm like, who's Clara, first of all?
Yeah.
And then I found out Clara is the name of Flea's daughter.
Yep. Yeah.
And that was like crazy to me. But then mm-hmm. I was like, wait, so who's this woman? Like, mm-hmm. and then I find out that's John Frusciante in drag. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, man.
Yeah. This, no.
He's an icon.
Totally. Yeah. Everything about that album cover is just, it's so brilliant. And the thing that I think is also brilliant about it is that it does and doesn't tell the story of like what the album is. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like you
I don't
can't
need to know.
Look,
I don't need to know.
That's the visual information is that like you don't need to know. It's yeah, it's incredible. I was just like flipping over. I was going to look at it again. I've always been really drawn to this, really drawn to this cover.
Yeah.
Too.
Because I feel like it describes what you're about to hear so well. Like, it's faded, it's like brown and old, it feels like wrinkled.
Did you ever own a physical copy of the of this album?
So I think I actually have the CD somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have it.
Because I was just like, I have to own this for sure.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me see if I can just grab it really fast. Because I'm having like a vague memory, but I want to make sure that what I'm about to say is true. So okay. Let me grab it. Hold on.
That's true.
Oh, here it is. Wait, nope, that's not it. Shit, sorry.
No, you're good.
What is it? I might just have to come. Oh, here it is. Okay.
Ooh.
Sorry.
Got it. You would have been way quicker than me finding that, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is what I thought. Oh, I have two copies of this. That's so crazy. All right, I have two copies of the CD in here that I didn't even realize. Why do I have? I don't know, whatever. But on the inside, it's got like all of the like pages from the journal that he was writing in, and it's all just like smeared with blood and chicken scratch and like just crazy looking. I mean, it's like, it's the lyrics of a lot of the songs, but it's just like the most dusted thing. And I remember
and
just
I feel like
at that.
Some of the lyrics even on there are like so indiscernible at certain points that I love that like certain people are just like adapting lyrics as their own. Like I can't, there's no way of me verifying someone's like heroin era. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, did he really say that?
Right.
Like, even if he was in the room,
mm-hmm.
I couldn't be like, oh, do you remember when back in like back when you made
1996
that, what you were saying, bro?
Or whatever.
Yeah, 96.
Oh, 94. Shit. God, this album is a lot older than I thought. How old were you when you found it? The first time you heard it?
Oh my God. I want to say probably like 17.
Yeah, I was like 16 first time I heard it. I mean, you know, like you were saying, I feel like everybody gets kind of indoctrinated into the Red Hot Chili Peppers and then eventually hits a wall with them.
Yeah, because you can only go so far with them. Like,
totally. And I've gone back and like, you know, I have a different and new appreciation for them now, but I talk about it way too fucking much on this podcast, so we're not going to talk about that.
Valid.
But I think I was watching a like a rock doc or like a, you know, like a VH1 Behind the Music or some shit about them. And they showed a clip of that Dutch documentary that was done on him when he was like completely fucking strung out. And I was so like
captivated.
Totally captivated by, and I, you know, there's something that was so grotesque about it and so sad and so
personal. Like, you guys allowed this to be on TV, like,
right
crazy.
Yeah. And remembering what he was like before and then seeing what addiction like turned him into at that time in his life and just being completely fucking fascinated. You know what I mean? And part of it is just like, you're a kid and you're just like, anything new.
Yeah.
Anything new and like weird, I'm gonna eat it up. But I remember seeing that and just being like, he put out an album during that time.
Yeah.
And then like how we're quite a bit of years apart. So this was like 1999 or something.
Okay, yeah.
Like early, mid early internet.
Yeah.
And you know, I had to like go way out of my way to find like some like QuickTime download that took like 4 hours to watch.
I remember QuickTime. I had dial up too, so yeah.
There was a random website that I found. It was like someone's personal website, you know, because it's easy to find shit that way back then.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm in like Ask Jeeves or whatever, being like, I need to find something from this. And the first song that I heard was Running Away Into You. Someone had like uploaded it on their personal website. And the first time that I fucking heard that song, I was just like, this is the most, one of the most beautiful, weirdest, but like one of the most beautiful songs that I've ever heard. And I also just like cannot believe the aesthetic sensibility of this song. Like I had never heard anything like it before.
Yeah. I can't really think of like a better introduction.
Yeah.
That's, well, that, I mean, besides like As Can Be, because it just, you just fall into it completely. Like, or, and I've been thinking about this too, I think Untitled 2.
Yeah. Yep.
It's like the loop.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the Untitled songs, I think a lot of them are actually in their own way more accessible than like the first part of the record.
Yes.
It's so weird because the actual quote unquote songs, the ones that are like more straightforward, are actually like in a lot of ways less accessible than the kind of sketches.
Well, because I think also the lyrics in like the first half are like you trying to interpret what a person is talking about.
Yeah.
And like,
right.
And like the second half is just obviously like instrumentals with Untitled and it's like this own. Like you're able to have more of an interpretation instead of looking at it like, oh, like, I wonder what they meant by this, or like,
right,
like trying to force yourself to make it into like an intellectual thing versus like a very emotional thing, which is funny.
Totally.
And I also just feel like that first half, you're just hearing pain, like just so like, and that's the thing. It doesn't sound like an enjoyable high. You know what I mean? If like a person is going through that, it just sounds rough. Mm-hmm. Like if even like to say like a withdrawal period where it's just very dark. Yeah.
That's what I've always thought about it and how I've always felt about it, is that there's like a certain desperation. And the word that you use when we were chatting last week was hunger to the first half of that album. And like, it's his vocal performances even more so than like the lyrical content or how kind of jagged the compositions are or whatever. It's like his vocal performances on this record are some of the most brilliant performances that I've ever heard in my life. And even since, like, I haven't found anything that has even come anywhere close to affecting me in the same way.
Yeah, I just really love that it's like this is a musician who's already so talented. And it's such a good like portrait of like an artist. Like what does even like a genius look like when they're at their like lowest point?
Lowest point. Damn.
And on top of that, when you have sounds on that album, like you're talking about vocal performances, where to this day, there's like certain things on that album where I still like hear and I'm like, that does not even sound like a human being.
Totally.
Like, there's so many like otherworldly like elements to it, which I love.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. So the other thing, when I was listening to the record last night, and just because it's one of those records for me where I've listened to it so many times that I know it like the back of my hand. And sometimes I feel like I don't have to listen to it if I know it. I can play it in my brain, you know, but I took the time and I actually listened to it last night. And one of the things that like I totally took for granted all of this time, because I was so focused on the low fidelity and just knowing that these are like 4-track recordings and everything. And I didn't ever until last night, like really appreciate like how meticulous he was, even throughout like whatever he was actually going through and whatever reason he had to like make that record, he was still very meticulous and very intentional about how those songs were recorded. Just, yeah. I'm like, this guitar tone isn't like, it's not like a direct in, like, I'm just fucking exactly. around. I'm too wasted to like set up a microphone properly and get the tone that I want. Like, it's not that. Like, there are a lot of things going on in those songs that like, when I listen to it now, I'm just like, oh, he was 100% there making it the way that he wanted with the resources that he had.
Exactly.
And it is actually like kind of beautifully recorded. And I always thought that, but I always thought about it strictly through the lens of like low fidelity and depravity and like it being like a weird record.
I just feel like in like the hall of fame of like grandfather, like bedroom pop, it's like I put him in like this hall of fame, so to speak, of like him, Daniel Johnson, Wesley Willis. Yeah,
totally.
Where there's just like the most chaotic energy.
Yeah.
Like imaginable. Yeah. Like
totally,
which I'm just here for it.
I'm so here for it too. And like the other thing that came to me yesterday when I was listening to this record is that it's, when was the last time you listened to it?
So like 2-3 days ago. Yeah.
Okay, so I have a new theory about it, which is that it's kind of like a rock opera. It's kind of like a concept album, you know.
I would say concept album for sure.
Concept album. Yeah, like the way that the songs flow, like I was thinking about it and I was like, if you like tightened up these songs and put a different treatment on them and had a different instrumentation and like different production and you kept everything else the same, like the whole flow of the record the same, like it's a brilliant concept album.
Yeah.
You know, like it's like Dark Side of the Moon.
Well, I would almost say like, correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't know what your meaning of opera is, like rock opera. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking, because like there are like repeating like motifs, like the way like tape is rewound, like
right,
or the like there's like certain guitar loops that come back, like the doo doo.
Yeah.
I'm butchering it, but like the doo 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 doo. Like it's like and it, I feel like they're just done in such like tasteful ways to like transition into the next thing. Going back to what you said, like there's no way somebody gone off their mind is being this meticulous about what, like 25 songs almost.
When I used to listen to it, I thought it was just a random collage of you know,
of just songs.
Desperation. Yeah. But now when I listen to it now, I'm like, I'm totally cool with that. But when I listen to it now, I'm like, no, that's not what's going on. Like this has a very specific flow. And he was very meticulous about how this thing got put together and like how it sounds. And something that I always took for granted that I love so much is like the reprise of a song, or how do I say, I don't really know like the right terminology for it, but here, let me find it. I'll tell you.
What is the definition of like what you're trying to, the words you're trying to figure
out? So do you remember like at the end of Mascara, where he starts to sing like the first phrase of Been Insane at the end?
Yes.
Shit like that.
So,
do you know what I'm talking about?
Would we call this a motif? It's like,
I don't know what it's called.
So I feel like a motif is like a repeating theme in a song.
Mm-hmm.
But I like, again, like does this break cross boundaries? Because I'm thinking like, does that apply to more than one song or just the song itself? Because if he's repeating,
I think it applies to more than one song.
Yeah, because it's just like, I know what you're talking about, like
where there's like it's almost like a medley at the end of Mascara where he starts to sing Been Insane and then it like completely just goes off the rails and then it comes back, like it reins in and it comes back and like Been Insane is the next track.
Yes.
And it's just fucking brilliant, honestly. Yes. Like something I completely just took that shit for granted. Now when I think about it and I'm like, if you transpose this into like a completely different fidelity and like made it palatable to normal ears, like this would be like a classic rock album.
100%.
You know what I'm saying?
You bringing this up is also leading to a question I wanted to ask you, which is, what do you think is the best ending of any song on that album?
Jesus. God, why are you asking me that?
Because I feel like I have like a three-way tie in my head.
Okay. Tell me what yours are. I'm curious.
Okay. So I think, so number three, if we're going lowest to highest, I think, oh my God. I'm like reevaluating it as I say it. Okay. So I think As Can Be is so, so bold because of how it starts. But it's even bolder to just end it like that and be like, I'm just going to let you like marinate on like what hit you, right?
Yeah, dude, that fucking, that guitar work on that song is so crazy.
And you can tell there is just, because he said it, I think, in that Dutch interview where he's just like, I dropped out of high school. I was only in my room playing back Jimi Hendrix records. And like people in record stores would be like, how do you know all this Jimi Hendrix? And he's like, I only played guitar for hours a day.
Right.
And you can hear it so much on this. It's like, it's almost, I'm going to go so far as to say anything done on this album is better than any solo or anything he's ever done in Red Hot Chili Peppers. And I feel like for it's sure. because this album is like the definition of like the shadow self of a person.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and I just feel like his shadow self is what was learning Jimi Hendrix. And that's why like, like from a technical, like, standpoint, because for the viewers, I do play guitar. just putting that out there. But it, a lot of his like lines and his technicality is so clear for a lo-fi record. So. All of his phrases are so pronounced and sound so much like Hendrix. When you're choosing to put distortion on something, crazy. Yep. When you're choosing to loop something, like so As Can Be is number three because it's just so bold. It just allows you to process if you're even able to process. Is it gonna be Curtains for number two?
Dude, Curtains is so good.
Oh,
hold on, I'm gonna listen to the end of it. Oh okay, wait, so that's the one that's like, I know your face.
Yeah.
Y'all are so it's out not of place.
Oh my god. It might be, wait, but Been Insane's good.
Been Insane?
No, it's Your Pussy's Glued to a Building on Fire is number two, easily. That's number two.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. Also probably the saddest song on there, maybe.
Your Pussy's Glued to a Building on Fire?
I think so. It's up there.
Why do you think that?
I think because of the lyric, if you see me roaming the hillside, won't you come along? Like, that's so visual to me. That's, like, so sad. Because it really sounds like somebody, like a call for help. Like, a cry for help to me. And it doesn't really feel like at any point in this album, after him saying that, does somebody, like, come along, really. That's, like, good for him.
Yeah. Right.
Like, I don't know. It just kind of, like, as the album goes on, it just enforces, like, this loneliness. Unless, like, during the interludes where it sounds like he's in, like, a circus full of kids. It doesn't sound like the influences that enter his life are good for him at all. Or, like, these healthy things. So that's number two. And I think number one has to be Mascara.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. I like your choices because mine are actually different. Okay.
Perfect.
So I'm going to do top three, two. Actually, I agree with you on Mascara, but Mascara is going to be my number three.
Oh, okay.
But do you have transition, different reasons for dude, you? Well, okay, so Mascara is the one that ends with him being like, I could be one of the dead. Yes. Think of my underwear full of lead without you.
Yes. And
without you, and then it goes to the guitar part immediately afterwards.
So smart. That is even okay. Like, let's just erase the context that he is on drugs while writing that. That is such smart writing.
It's so
like,
smart.
If
yeah,
you honestly put that on a Funkadelic track, I would be like, oh yeah, of course. Like, so you see like his influence there.
Yeah.
Totally. And like structurally it's just so good, like like the abrupt cutoffs. The abrupt cutoffs are like my favorite thing, like
Oh my god. The flow of the whole flow of that song Mascara is honestly like it's just brilliant
the
in my
flow
opinion,
is
it just
so
does so many crazy things
yes
and it's all like the more I listen to it I'm just like this is actually a lot more complex and a lot crazier than I ever gave it credit for before.
Also, we haven't even talked about the vocals, like intertwining, like how he has like, he's like dubbing off of himself. Mm-hmm. So you can't even tell, like, it's like mixed in such a weird way where it's like the sentences are like mixed on the same like volume.
On the same level.
So right. I and can't just, tell, like, it's like if I had one version of me saying like, mm-hmm. I want to pet a dog. And the second one is like, I want to pet a cat. But mm-hmm. they're so equally balanced that I can't tell who's saying what or like mm-hmm. whose sentence is crossing, if that makes sense. Like,
totally. No, it completely makes sense. Yeah, the way that it's mixed, like the vocals just kind of like melt into each other, into this like
collage. Literally,
It's like it's a collage. Yeah, it's like it's so seamless, but in a very special way. You know.
Yeah.
I love that. That's the sort of like transitional moment in the song where it's like, okay, we're gonna wrap this up, but we're gonna give you another gotcha surprise afterward. But then when we wrap it up and move to the next song, like all of this is gonna make sense.
Yeah,
just like fucking crazy. So yeah, so
that's, like teased his own song before the song, like within the song. That's hilarious.
It's so wild. I just love it so
like,
much.
Like that's something rappers do right now.
No, that's exactly what I was gonna say. It's like a rap album, like a modern rap album. They do that shit. This was like in 1994. Yeah. Just some weirdo John Frusciante like being in his apartment, being like, nobody's listening. Yeah. I'll just do whatever the fuck I want.
He's like, why don't people like make trailers and songs like they do with movies? Like, why haven't I heard a preview of a new song? I feel like you would say something like that.
It's so crazy.
So that was your number three, mascara.
Yeah. So my number three is mascara. My number two, we're going to say that my number two, just on a visceral level, I'm going to say is Untitled number two. No, that's not the one. Hold on. Untitled number three. Do you know?
Okay.
Do you know how that one ends?
Good question. Okay.
The one that's, he's like, a dove is a glove that I wear my heart. And at the end of that, it's like, in the world, the only thing to destroy is to die like a baby boy. Like that ending just fucking kills me.
No. Okay. I am so glad you said Untitled number three, because I always forget to look at which number shocks me. And the first time I heard it, and I feel like to this day, the first time I hear that line.
Because it's just such nonsense at first.
I think I just paused it. I think I just paused it and just like stepped back.
That's another abrupt ending one.
Like, why does nonsense feel so heavy right now?
That's what I'm fucking screaming.
Like,
yes.
And then he's almost like lucid or like conscious at a certain point, because he's like, when the words on this page would be the scribbling nonsense they are.
That's exactly.
Like the level of awareness.
Yeah. It's so intense. It's so fucking intense.
Man.
It would be real. And I ate my last meal. Wish that I could feel, but now I don't even know if I'm real. And the way that he fucking delivers those lines is insane. And that's the song ends that way. And it's just him. It's
hungry. It sounds tired.
Hungry and tired. And it's like, it's pitched down. It's just his voice. There's nothing else going on. And he finishes that line. The rest of the song does not fucking sound like that. It just completely like descends into the abyss of like hunger and despair, and it just ends that way and then goes into like another song with a totally different energy to it that's like instrumental. It's crazy. It's insanity.
And that's your number two.
That's my number two. My number one is Running Away Into You, because I love the way that the vocal lines, how he sustains like whatever effect he's using, how he sustains it and then pitches it and just keeps pitching it until like it just sounds like its own instrument. You know what I'm saying? And it just like, it becomes a guitar solo.
It's just like this drone.
Yeah, like his last line becomes like the solo at the end of the fucking song. It's crazy. Yes. I've never been able to get over that. Like, I'm just like, holy fuck. Like, that's like dream brain. Like, if I was able to ever do anything that brilliant, I would just be like, okay, I feel totally good, like jumping off a cliff tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm accomplished. Like,
I'm accomplished. You know, it's just so incredible. And it's just like, it's just like leaking out of his brain. Like, nobody engineered that for him. Like, that's the other thing that's so crazy about that.
Do you feel like that was totally improvised to you? Maybe that's another question. Like, do you feel like there are parts of it that were, like, that you can tell or that you think were improvised?
Because
some of the stuff just makes sense. Like, like, he was definitely, like, toying around with stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then other times I'm just like, the timing's too good.
It's too good, yeah. You did a couple passes of this to nail it. Like, you were trying to nail it. I used to think that a lot of it was just really slapdash and, like, improvised and stuff. The more I listened to it with, like, more experienced and, like, sophisticated ears that I've heard a lot of stuff and I am more, like, technically adept.
Mm.
I agree with you that I think that some of the stuff is, like, he just was like, this is fucking weird, but I'm going to nail it in its weirdness. I'm going to stick this landing. It's fucking insane. So insane. But the thing that I love about all of the songs is that they're, like... It's funny that you brought up rap albums because when I think about this record, sometimes I think like this record structurally is so similar to like the way that rap albums are structured now.
Interesting.
Because, you know, like back in the 90s, it was like you had an intro and then you had a track and then you had a couple tracks and then you had an interlude like between the album and then you had like another track and then you had a skit and then you know what I mean? It's like almost every record followed that vibe. And now it's like way more free flowing, way more psychedelic, way more abstract, the way that like rap albums flow now.
Yeah.
And you'll have that thing where it's like they will reference the next song or another theme in like a different song. And it's like there's a lot of like Easter egg kind of shit going on, you know, that's like happening in this record. And then the other thing is like, it's like...
Well, it's like Untitled 5 is... It's a skit. That's like the one you're like shining like a glycerin crown or whatever.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Come on down. Yeah, oh, right. I feel like that. And then like the one... And again, I don't know what number it is, but it's like the one where it sounds like a bunch of kids, like, and he just told them to like say as many cuss words as they wanted in the...
Yeah, I think that's either 9 or 10.
One of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that was the other thing I was going to say is that the other thing that's like has a parallel with like rap albums. You know how like rap albums now, the song will start out a certain way and then it ends and it's like a completely different song at the end.
Yes.
Or maybe this is just something that I'm noticing with the stuff that I'm listening to, but like... That's another thing that I'm seeing more in like modern rap music where it's like you start out a certain way, but then there's like a twist.
Yeah.
Like all of these songs also on this record have that same kind of vibe where it's like it starts out a certain way and you're like, cool, this maybe kind of sounds like something I'm familiar with. And then it fucking like goes off the cliff into something totally different. And then sometimes it will do it again. It's amazing.
It always defies like expectations of like what songwriting is to me.
For sure. Same.
It's like nothing can really be put into a structure. And it almost feels like, at least reading it sometimes, it's like, this is the kind of stuff that you look back on when you're like 8 years old and you have like old like poetry homework or something. And as a kid, you were like, oh, this is so deep. Like, like I'm killing it right now.
Mm-hmm.
And like on paper to you, like at that age, it looks great. And then you look back and you're like, oh, like, no, you're not deep. You're not deep at all.
Wait, what do you mean?
Well, I think it's like a time stamp.
This record you mean?
Yeah, for his life and just like, because I'm sure like there's has to be moments where he looks back on it and he's like, oh, that was really cool. Or this was terrible.
Yeah, they pulled this record.
And it just shows like progression. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, they pulled this record. Smile from the Streets You Hold never got reissued.
Yeah.
At least as far as I know, it didn't get reissued. But that one got pulled like really quick and they were like, we're not bringing this one back ever.
Yeah.
But this one hung out for a little while and then it went out of print briefly in, I want to say like 2003 or something. It was out of print and then they reissued it. It didn't take long for them to reissue it, though. I think that they didn't realize that so many people had such a strong relationship with the record, you know, because it was like obviously never going to chart and like no one was ever going to give it PR, like write about it or anything. Like, and you know, at a certain point, like I've read interviews where he was like, yeah, that these are embarrassing records for me because of like what they are and like why I did them. And like he wasn't like proud of them and they did get yanked for a little while. At least Neandrolatus is like literally a classic fucking record for so many people. Like, yes. Everybody who has this album in their life, it's like one of their favorites. Yes. I don't know anybody who has this album in their life that doesn't have a very, very strong feeling about it. I don't think that people knew that because it was never like openly in the zeitgeist. It was like one of those things where it was like, you know, when you find out that someone else has a favorite, like rare Pokemon or something.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I mean, that's like a bad example, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
well, I think it does that almost as like a way of like vetting people. Because it's an album that's impossible to be neutral about.
You can't be neutral about that. It. Like, yeah, for sure.
You're going to instantly hate it. Or you are going to be fascinated by it. And there's like, yeah. No, everything is just this.
It's very polarizing.
Like assured mm-hmm. in itself. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I clearly.
It just forces you to take a stance.
Yeah. A very strong stance one way or another. And I think like anyone that I've ever met that is like, fuck that record. I'm like, you know what? Fuck you. Fuck you.
And it's like, oh, like. I haven't had this experience, but I feel like that would be a thing that would just come up where I find out like later that this is a terrible person.
Right, exactly.
Or just
right.
Like,
I know. Like, I know. Yeah. Everybody that I've ever known that I've ever met that loves this record, I had an immediate feeling like, oh, this is somebody that I could be friends with. But then it always ended up being true. You know, it's just like, I don't know how to describe it. It is one of those like weird things that unites a certain type of person.
Definitely.
Maybe that is a neurodivergent stoner that loves art, but that's enough sometimes.
That's all right.
Yeah, that's like totally fine. Yeah.
Dude, watch. In like 5-10 years, I don't know, with the way like the internet is adopting and like embracing absurdism,
mm-hmm.
I feel like 5-10 years time, like this album is going to be like
huge.
Oh, like you like Deftones? It's going to be like the new Deftones.
The new Deftones.
Like, yeah. There's going to be like a revival of it.
Sometimes I'm surprised that it hasn't happened already, but I also just think that like, I don't think that the introduction has been made to the right people still. I mean, and I'm not intentionally, 100%. Like we're talking about it now. Like I never had the intention of like gatekeeping this record. I want people to have access to it and hear it.
Yeah.
I don't think that it is one of those types of records that like you can use to kind of like carve out your identity in a space necessarily, you know, because it is a very, very personal record.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I feel like it's one of those two where when I'm meeting somebody for the first time mm-hmm. that I learn enjoys experimental music mm-hmm. or like anything right. along that line. It's like the album where I'm like, oh, I'm such a bad friend for not
showing
letting
this
you know
to,
about this.
Right.
Because like, to me, it's one of those where I'm like, I'm so mad at like every moment of my life where I was not able to hear this or just didn't know what this was.
Yeah, right. Like, totally. Wow. Yeah. I used to play it for everybody, every day, practically. Literally just such a little
scaring people.
Yeah, just scaring people, just being such a little punisher, being like,
real.
Just like literally
that's
make
real.
Sit them down and make them listen to it. But I think there's time still for really the point that I wanted to make is that I know that these records, what I hope, because I know that these records were not John Frusciante's favorite records that he's ever made that he was like actually proud of.
Right.
But what I hope is that like at the very least, he understands the profound positive impact that that record in particular has had on people's lives.
Yeah.
And that those of us who love this record, it's like one of the most treasured things that we've ever found.
Yes.
And that's I at least
I hope it becomes an album that exclusively Black people adopt.
That's like, the other fucking thing that like I think about so much where I'm just like, this record, like so many Black people who have heard this record that are like into weird shit, like we all love this record. We all love it.
I really hope it just becomes like adopted, like almost like a Blue-Eyed Soul type of deal like a like Bobby Caldwell type like oh my god no just like not as in like we think he's Black but just as in like I wish it almost becomes like a trending sound on TikTok or whatever
for sure.
However it needs to become popular
right.
or in the ether
like
I just hope Black people are like, oh yeah, we're just like listening to heroin rock albums now.
Yeah,
like Lou Reed, like
totally
blows up.
Yeah, no, like, I'm so ready for that. And also, like, I think that this is one of those records that belongs in the canon of like Black music, just generally. Like, it's such a hard thing to like explain or describe, like how certain things you're just like, no, this makes sense. Like, this is for us. this is ours. This belongs to us. Like, we understand it better than everybody else, you know? And it's kind of like, okay.
We, the Black delegation.
Yeah, we. The Black delegation of heroin music. No, but it's like, you know how nu metal and like Deftones, like all that stuff. We were talking about this fucking last week where I was like, the first iteration of nu metal was just like homophobic, racist pigmen that were like grabbing like teenage girls' titties in the pit and stuff.
Yeah.
Just gross fucking people in JNCOs and like a Slipknot shirt. And now it's like all queer femme chill people are like into this stuff and have like reclaimed the aesthetic in a certain way. And it's like that can happen to anything. That can happen to anything as long as people understand that something like has a context for them. I keep using context. I'm going to use a different word, but like, you know, they understand that something can be for them that wasn't dictated.
Or knowing like the background or history is like important to like anything. Cause I feel like, and we're seeing that kind of like with Kanye now, or we really have like throughout his career where it's like Kanye adapting. I don't know if you've seen like his whole like Vultures line. So right now Kanye has like his new album Vultures is like black metal font.
Oh God, right. And like him and, with and, the like, Burzum shirt and shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about. I know about that. You sent me that.
Yeah.
You sent me that picture of him with Peggy and he's wearing a Burzum shirt and I was just like, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah. But so crazy to see how like the people he's hanging around. I think like one of his hype men right now is like this like 6'5" like white dude who's bald and literally looks like a skinhead and is like on some black metal shit. I forget what his name is. He raps too.
I think I know vaguely who you're talking about.
Yeah. But yeah, it's like making a comeback, but it's like choosing like this font, like this new font of like Kanye or like whatever. But like knowing that me being able to appreciate it is like, oh, I just like love black metal.
Right.
And I know the history of it.
Yeah, for sure.
But I think a lot of people aren't aware of like, this is alt-right as hell.
Yeah, like, right.
And like what comes along with that. Because I think like me being appreciative of it, like that's why I don't knock Kanye for it. Because like me or Kanye or JPEG Mafia wearing a Burzum shirt is not the same as Brad in Evanston wearing a Burzum
for
shirt.
For sure.
Like,
right. Yeah.
I'm going to assume he keeps a knife on him. Like that's like... Yeah. There's going to be connotations in my mind that pop up from you adapting culture versus me adapting culture.
Totally.
Like,
yeah. For us, it's like, it's not about reclaiming something. It's about reframing certain things and saying, you know, at least like my relationship with black metal and the culture around it and the history of it. Like, obviously I can do without most of that shit. But there are other things that if you are able to kind of like separate them from like national socialist identities that they're attached to, like not being into Christianity, for example, or like being anti-capitalist, for example, like all those things are in that context of like those people in that culture is like those are tied to national socialist beliefs and all that stuff. And that's like not that's not good. But also, like, yes, I am anti-Christian and anti-capitalist. And yes, I do think that it's, like, hilarious that they fucking burn churches down. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not mad about that. I don't care. Like, I think that's awesome. I wish I had the fucking huevos to burn a church down. Especially right now.
Right.
You know? And so it's, like, there's no reason to tell yourself, like, as a black person, that you have to stay in that space all the time. You're allowed to leave that space temporarily and say, you know what? I'm going to abstract the absurdity from it. I'm going to extract the aesthetic from it because I fucking can. Just like anybody else can take anything from our culture and appropriate it and adopt it into whatever their tenets are without having anybody question how it's felt by them.
Yeah, 100%. You know? Well, it's like, think about Dadaism.
Right.
And like the histories with that within that of... the 1920s and like Germany, like a lot of German, a lot of French artists being into, like you said, like a lot of movements like that on paper are great, like being like anti-capitalist, being against like the confines of authority in certain ways. And I think, but again, their art movement was probably very much not open to black people
for sure
in any form.
Right. Yeah.
Go on Google right now, look up Dadaism Black people in the 1920s. You will not find anything.
No, you won't.
Because that wasn't
find
our
anything.
Community.
Totally.
But fast forward to now, and in my opinion, this is why I love her so much. I feel like I wish I could talk about this to her and see if she knows about it, because I don't want to assume. But I feel like a great representation of like that absurdity and the theatrics of it all is Tierra Whack.
Oh God, yes, 100%. I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, because like,
I knew that that's who you were going to bring up.
Because there's no way that you can talk about this carnival quality. Mm-hmm. Like the theatrics are so up there.
Yep.
The ridiculousness.
Yeah.
Like
God,
how
I fucking love her album artwork so much.
Yeah.
It's like the best shit I've
ever seen. Her use of color, her sense of fashion.
Yeah.
Like
she is incredible.
She's done her homework somewhere because like oh my God. Yeah.
No, that's completely the thing that I wonder sometimes, you know, because like I'm on a personal campaign to prop up and to carve out space for the Black weirdo in our culture.
100%.
Like you know this and I know this. If you're like a Black weirdo, you can usually find some like white hipster to be like, yeah, whatever, you're fine, you're cool. Or like, yeah, sure, like, yeah, you can hang out, you know, but it's like, it has been harder and I think it's getting easier, but like there needs to be a specific space and understanding and like all these things like within our culture of our weirdos and acceptance of our weirdos. This is something that we need to take more ownership of rather than like letting a Eurocentric interpretation of what this is reappropriate it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the most important thing is that we understand ourselves.
Right.
We understand each other and that we're able to see the humanity in each other even when we don't understand each other because of the fences that have been put around our own perception of ourselves.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
Like it's like this is becoming a little bit abstract and like I don't know how many people will actually listen to this that will understand. Like hopefully there will be like enough Black people listening to this that they'll be like, yeah, I get it. Everybody else will be like, what?
Yeah. But
also
exactly.
Like this episode's not for you.
Yeah. No, exactly.
You know, but yeah.
And it's okay. So, like, I think we were talking about this last week, like the power of staying in your own lane.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
You know, being open to new experiences, but also if it's not in your lane, that's okay.
It's like, totally okay. It's totally okay.
Yeah.
You know, and like culture amalgamates in a way for other people that it doesn't typically for us.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes because of that, other people, they just perceive access to things like implicitly where we don't perceive access to things implicitly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just ties into like all the other shit that we're saying. We're like, okay, well, this John Frusciante album, like this is like a Black album. This has all of the creative and artistic and melodic markers of being music that Black people would like, you know?
Because like think about it. It's like when you put it on paper, like without mentioning like who he is, without mentioning that he is going through a struggle with drug addiction.
Yeah.
Without saying it's lo-fi, it's like, what are the characteristics of this album that you would put on paper? And then tell me if those same characteristics aren't qualifiers of an album that are already considered like great Black albums.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And
you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Reflections of the shadow side of like the Black experience.
Right. Cause it's not it's not like these traits are things that are either anti-Black or like, like that Black people would never claim. I feel like everything in the album is so characteristic of what I love about albums that are made by Black people and so well done.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the only thing that is like keeping it out of the zeitgeist of Black culture is that we don't perceive access implicitly to like whatever, you know, because of the way that like white supremacy like puts borders around culture. We don't just like go, oh, that's for us. Unless you're an asshole like me. You know, unless you were like the type of person that like actively was so vehemently in pursuit of access from a young age and like and raised that way, in a lot of ways, had that cultivated into how you move in the world.
Yeah.
It's just not endemic to how we're expected to move in the world. Whereas like everybody else is just like, I feel like it.
Well, it's like, it goes back to shared experiences too.
Yeah.
I mean, like how you were saying, you'll just play it for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny that we have different approaches because I'm very selective. It's not even, I don't consider it gatekeeping. Mm-hmm. I'm just very selective with who I shared this album with because yeah. I'm like, this is so relative to me
mm-hmm.
to the point where like, if I show this to you, like, I feel like I take you seriously in my life.
For sure.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But it's funny that you show everyone because I feel like that's also good because it's like vetting them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I've just never met, like you said, like I've just never met somebody who became questionable or like was terrible in my life who also knew about this. And I don't know why that is. Yeah. I can't explain it, but mm-hmm. it just is a fact.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know why it's a fact, but it just is.
Yeah. That album like does carry a certain kind of like energy about it that is so weird because I can't think of another example of an album that has the same result where it's like just something about the energy that is carried in that in those songs and what it takes in a person to be able to like perceive the beauty of what that is it translates to a lot of other good qualities in a person.
Yeah.
Like you have to be a patient person. You have to be a tolerant person. You have to be an open-minded person overall to be able to like immediately see the beauty of like what that record is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you can do that with that, then you can probably generally like do that with people and other things and life.
And correct me if I'm wrong, too. Mm. When you usually bring this up to people, like when you show people this album, do you give them context or you just go straight in? Like you don't tell them who it is or you don't tell them like the story behind the album?
It depends. Sometimes I'll give them like a little bit of context. I'll just be like, hey, have you heard this John Frusciante album?
Right.
But like nothing more than that. I'm not going to be like, you know, like YouTube.
Whip out like the spreadsheet.
Yeah, the spreadsheet or just being like some sensationalist like YouTuber that's like, I'm going to show you the craziest song that's ever, you know.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I don't do it for views. I just do it for like, I do the same thing with Beck sometimes where I will play a song from like One Foot in the Grave. Right.
Yeah.
And then I'll play something from Hyperspace, but I'll play like Hyperspace first because people like don't know that it's Beck. If you pick the right song, they're just like, is this Justin Bieber? Like, I don't know.
Whoa.
You play that and you're like, no, it's Beck. And then you play something from One Foot in the Grave and it's just like the roughest sounding
shit
ever.
Tom Waitsy.
Yeah. Like Tom Waitsy, but like even more like drugged out, you know? So it's like, it's the same kind of thing where it's like showing the range of an artist.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Cause I feel like, no context is good because I feel like it's not meant to have context.
Right. Or the context really doesn't even really do it justice necessarily.
Ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It puts like a weird border around the experience because I don't know. I mean, I loved the record and thought it was beautiful, but I also, when I was younger, when I was a teenager, like there was a part of me that kind of sensationalized the story behind it, you know?
You kind of can't help but do that too.
Yeah.
Because it's such a huge part of it. But I feel like this album, by vetting those people, it teaches me like in certain ways, like you are willing to dedicate time to being open to new art.
Yeah, for sure. Right. Right. Yeah. Because that's a thing for sure.
Yeah. It shows me that you appreciate non-conventional songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like almost a reference point. Like, oh, if they do like this, like I can show them this.
Right. Completely.
Or like Captain Beefheart or something.
I love how you wouldn't start with Captain Beefheart. You're just like going like Neanderthalus first. And then you're like, okay, I think you can handle Captain Beefheart now.
Wow.
No, I would do the same shit though.
I mean, I guess I'm only bringing up Beefheart for the sake of bringing up a white person that a lot of people would know already.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right.
You could go super niche with it. I guess I'm only saying Beefheart because I think Frusciante has also said he loves them too. So.
Yeah, and I definitely hear that in.
And you hear it, yeah.
For sure.
But yeah, somebody who's able to listen to this, and even if they hate it, I feel like it shows a lot more about the person who's just like, cut this off.
Oh,
like,
God. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Anybody who's ever been like, cut this off, I'm like, it's never going to be that deep with us. I'm sorry. Yeah. It's just never going to be that deep.
100%.
So be it, though. You know?
Yeah.
Who knew that one album could do so many things? Be such a multi-purpose apparatus.
Well, that's why I think it would be so cool for it to just be adopted as like a Black album.
God, I want
with
that.
Like no context, just yeah. Oh, like we wake up one day and we're like, yeah, that's us,
right? Dude, I'm just gonna say this: why Paramore and not this? I mean, not that I don't know why. Because I do know, but like, please.
Wow, that's like a topic. I'm like processing that kind of because, okay, and the listeners or the viewers might crucify me for this.
We got a double Aries episode. We might not make it out. Go ahead.
Me personally, I'm not shit talking Paramore. Mm. I never had a Paramore phase.
Oh, no, me either.
I never did. I've never heard a full album from them.
Nope.
I know some of the singles or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I like one of them a lot.
Hayley Williams seems like an amazing person.
Yeah.
And I still have to listen to her solo album because somebody told me that it's super artsy.
Okay.
Or like art rocky. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, like I'm curious to see what that's like.
Yeah.
But they just never did it for me.
No, me either.
I'm sorry. Like I couldn't.
No.
So that question is very valid. Why not him versus Paramore?
Yeah, or like we were talking about, this was months ago when we were talking about this, but I'm like, why not fucking Animal Collective? Like, why Paramore and not Animal Collective? Because Animal Collective, which I didn't know until you so graciously showed me, Animal Collective is another band that is like, this band is for Black people. Like, I understand why Black people fucking love Animal Collective now.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like,
I can only count the people on my hand that like it who are Black. But
the ones who like, that's what I'm talking about. It's a matter of fucking exposure. Because like, if the same people who were exposed to Paramore at a very like, you know, formative time in their lives, if they had access and if they had been exposed to Animal Collective instead, like we would be having a completely different type of conversation about this type of stuff because it's the same hook. It's the same thing. I mean, Animal Collective is weirder, sure. But like the same thing that like draws people into a band like Paramore is like the same thing that like fewer Black people, but still many Black people like love about Animal Collective.
Yes.
It's the same.
Like I'll put my money where my mouth is. Like I will host a listening party at my house. I will buy shrooms, right? Mm-hmm. I'm putting my address in the description of this video. Pull up to my house. We're going to listen to this. You might cry, but that's okay. This is a safe space.
Very safe.
We're going to listen to this, and then you're going to tell me why you like it, because I don't think... Now, here's another thing, because I'm glad you brought up Animal Club. Mm-hmm. I don't think a rational Black person can hate Panda Bear.
I can't argue.
Here's the thing.
I can't argue.
Here's the thing.
Okay, what?
You're really about to get mad at the man who played drums on one, if not several, tracks on Solange's album? Really? Yeah, he did drums on that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
So, at the end of the day, you hate Solange if you hate Panda Bear. by association, you don't like Black women.
Oh, my God.
So, I know we're giving out hot takes today, but somebody had to say it. So, take it a step further.
Please.
Panda Bear does a fuck ton of drums on Animal Collective, if not all of them, especially when they're live. The thing that has stuck with me in every Animal Collective album, if not each song, is the drums.
Yeah.
The rhythmic element to it is always smart to me.
Yeah, it is always smart. It is. And I didn't listen to them, honestly. Like, I didn't listen to them seriously until you told me to. And then I was like, okay, I will, because you said so. If anybody else, I mean, we've talked about this before. We're like, obviously other people have tried to get me to listen to fucking Animal Collective. And I've been like, no, not listening to that.
Because the argument is terrible.
Right. The argument's terrible. But then, like, when you were like, no, no, you need to listen to this, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't. All right, fine. I don't care, because I feel like they're always going to be one of those bands where people hear it and they're like, oh, this black person isn't like a real black person, or they are weird and date white women or something.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm just smart. I'm hearing stuff you don't hear right now. So peep game, because yeah, I got a million ways to tell somebody how wrong they are sometimes. Yeah. And you got to let people know, you know,
you do.
Animal Collective. I don't know if you heard this one. Spirit, they've gone. Spirit, they've vanished.
What is that?
Okay. Wow.
Is it an album?
Yes. So this is a very rare. Well, it's not rare now because they just put out a vinyl for it after it being legend.
Mm-hmm.
Like at one point you couldn't find this Animal Collective tape because it was pretty rare. And it's from when they were really, really, really young. So it's just AV Terror.
I will check it out. Only because you said so, though. If anybody else told me to, I'd be like, fuck you.
I need a report on my desk Monday morning.
God.
Yeah.
Yeah, that and Midsommar, which I have not watched.
Oh, yes. That's mandatory.
I know. I'll get to it. I promise. Yeah. I promise. Okay. Is there anything else you want to hit on here? You want to shout anybody out? Shout anything out? Any albums? Any musicians?
Great question. Right now, shout out to, obviously, John Frusciante. Thank you for making this album. It's crazy.
We love you, John.
We love you so much. hit me up.
Yeah, hit me up, too. I've been trying to find somebody, actually. I keep being like, I know I'm only separated from John Frusciante by, like, probably, like, it's less than 6 degrees. I'll just put it that way. And I'm like, I'm trying to find the person who will deliver a happy birthday message from me to John Frusciante on his birthday. That's been I've been on like a 10-year.
John, we're both Aries too. Lazy. So just tell us both happy birthday in the comments if you're checking this out.
Yeah.
Please. Shout out to 454. 454 is an amazing rapper. I just found out about him through an Earl Sweatshirt interview where he name dropped him. And I was like,
oh, nice.
This is probably going to be amazing.
I like Earl.
Earl's great. Shout out to Earl.
Yeah, for real. Hi, Earl.
Shout out to Pink Sifu.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
I cannot stop playing the album. It's too quiet. It's perfect. It's a perfect album. This is the album that's, dude, this is the album that is expanding the weirdo box that we talked about.
Hell
because
yeah.
It's so, it can be played in clubs, but there's so many weird songs on it, and I love it, and the production's perfect. It's a perfect album. I think that's all my shout-outs.
All right. I'm just going to, like, double those, and I just also want to say that all the shout-outs, if you don't respond, I'm going to retaliate.
Bullying works, everyone.
No, it doesn't. Do not stay off of Black Twitter.
Hey, do not go be on Black filled. Twitter right now. Go on Black Twitter right now.
No, that place is a fucking hellmouth. How dare you?
Bully Denzel Washington into dropping a mixtape.
Oh my God.
I saw that photo of him with Moneybagg Yo, and I need a Denzel album now. So go bully one of the greatest actors of all time.
Don't do it. Leave him alone. Leave him alone. Let him
He knew what he was doing. What he was doing.
No, you're right. Black Twitter is a rough place.
I'll accept one song. Let me get a Denzel single and that's it.
Okay. I'm just gonna cross my fingers that, like, if I don't edit this out, that it doesn't make it to Black Twitter. We'll just put it that way. It
needs to go to Black Twitter.
Dude.
Give me the clip. I'll put it on there.
I will. If you really want to put yourself out there like that, I will let you.
Sure.
These fucking Twitter-pilled incels.
What are you going to debate with me about? Like, how we don't need a 103,000 rap album? Like,
well, I mean,
what do you think people would be mad
at? Nobody on Twitter would be mad at you about saying that. I'm just saying that, like, we should let the man do what he wants to do. That's all I'm saying.
Agreed.
I don't think I'm.
And he needs to do a rap album.
No. I'm saying if he doesn't want to, then we should be like, yeah, you don't have to.
He wants to. He wants to. I talked to him yesterday.
You're full of it.
That's what he said.
He did not say that.
That's big bro. he said that.
Lord have mercy. Stay off of Twitter, kids.
Yeah.
Please. Lil B follows me on Twitter.
Really? That's hilarious.
My reigning accomplishment of my life.
Man, I saw Lil B at the Metro in Chicago, and that was like one of the best shows ever.
I love him so much.
So shout out to Lil B.
I know.
Bass God.
Thank you, Bass God.
Hope he's doing
all right. Yeah, shout out to Lil B. Also, yeah, no, that's all. That's all I'm going to say.
Talk about a trendsetter. Wow. God.
Incredible. I love him. All right. It's been almost 2 hours. I don't even know how much of this is. Some of it is just like us talking shit, so it'll get cut. But yeah.
Hey, shit talking is important, though.
Oh, especially if you get two Aries in a room together, you think we're not going to talk shit?
Exactly. That's where your content gold is. Just don't use anything from these 2 hours except the shit talking. I would be mad if there was none.
Yeah. No, right. We're just like, come at us both. Like, we will both burn the whole entire fucking world down.
Yeah.
And then we'll be really sad about it afterward because it was a very impulsive decision. Yeah. I'll be like, oh, I miss my friends.
But you can't come at me during Aries season.
Mm-mm.
Like, as soon as late April happens, then you can come at me. But like, during my season, no. Nah. I'll stand on business for exactly 1 month, 1 moon.
Clyde must be left alone, left in peace.
Yeah, I'm going to be on a, never mind, let me not say that. That would get me canceled. So I'm a.
Okay, well, on that note.
On that note, I'm just keep to myself, but yes.
You're going to tell me as soon as I stop recording, but okay, well, on that note, we're going to go because we got some tea that doesn't involve any of you to discuss now. So we're going to go. Thank you for listening, and I have no idea how to close this show. What the fuck do I say? Bye? What do I say?
Sayonara.
Sayonara.
Adieu. Sayonara.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Wait, is that the end?
That's the end, Sally. It's time to say goodbye.
Oh, but Gabby, I'm bad at goodbyes.
That's not true. Besides, we'll be back.
When?
I don't know. Eventually. Like, in 2 weeks.
What if the teacups need to talk to us?
Then they can write to us at teacupdemagogues@gmail.com.
Or we could give them your phone number.
Nope.
666-420-69.
You've got friends.